welcome to the Grand Jury Reawakening. I'm your host, Dr. Kelly. This is a show that's exclusive to Republic Broadcasting Network, and I actually served on a grand jury in Nevada County, California from 2012 to 2015. And there is actually going to be a tiny bit of good news coming out of the work of the Sacramento County, California Grand Jury. Now, the grand jury is listed in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 23, requiring the counties to convene and to seat a grand jury once yearly. They investigate the government. The civil grand jury looks into libraries, schools, special districts, and a whole bunch of other departments and divisions and parts of your county. Now, when I finished serving on the grand jury, I was able to help someone do a public records request, and I did require the quite a few items. One of them, just one of the items, when you swear in your oath, you are you're got a liability bonding policy. This particular county sheriff's policy was either $10 or $15 million. It's called a crime bond, crime, C-R-I-M-E, crime bond. And for people to be interfering with and, oh, we're going to go after and charge the bond. Really? What's your charging instrument? You're just interfering with things. If you want to support your grand jury and go after somebody, say, like Sheriff Scott Jones, it's all done in silence, confidentiality. Everything that I learned and everything that you learn when you are a witness, when you are interviewed by the grand jury, is highly, strictly confidential. And it's embarrassing and shaming, and unfortunately, I can't refer too many people to certain, I don't know, hosts, and then callers come in and you want to sabotage the whole thing. Don't do it. Mind your own business. And when something does involve you, then you better know what to do. You better be ready to move like lightning, and you better be ready to go to big boy court, federal court. English is the official language. So I don't know what all the fuss is about. Scott Jones, sheriff, Sacramento. Apparently, they got their hands on the CARES Act money and diverted it into the sheriff's budget. And, boy, I wish Wyatt Earp was here right now, because I wonder what he'd have to say about that. The Board of Supervisors is involved, and several other people. And I think it was the tune of 100-some-odd million of CARES Act money that, yes, the sheriff stole, and the Board of Supervisors allowed it to happen. Oh, man, there's a bunch of supervisors where they're just recalling the whole board in these northern counties because we're not putting up with their cock-a-doodle-doo. And it's going to just be wonderful to get my hands on the entire report. That's the final report of the Sacramento County Grand Jury. Those are available at cgja.org, California Grand Jury Association. You can get the best ofs, and you can see the California Special Districts Association. So if you are in a California county or a Nevada county, get your application in. Make sure you've been in the county for a minimum of 1 year, that you speak English, and that you don't have any felonies. Because what happens when you want to do something good and you show up at a place like, you know, not knowing what's going on, you want to show up and help out at maybe the Bundy Ranch or something, and then you have tons and tons of felons that are probably spies. They're probably, what do they call those? It's a load of crap, but they call them a confidential informant. And you know what? There's nothing confidential God will expose it all. And I'm just so grateful that we have a good history, that we've had a few handfuls of good men and women in this country and to the north. And I'm just grateful to have met someone on RBN, and they have a pretty extensive historical knowledge and background, and also all the way to chemistry and physics, and got the good parts of the education from our institutions here in the United States and abroad. And I'm talking about James Southern Jameson West, and he wrote a book called No Such Thing as Terminal, and it's talking about the fountain of youth and just what people, mountain, spring, water. I'm pretty sure that's the fountain of youth. Anybody want to come and arm wrestle me over it? We'll do some fundraising for RBN in the process. And so, yeah, so Scott Jones, be keeping your eyes peeled for that. If you have a sheriff who is a crooked, you might want to serve in your county. So just to, yeah, that's enough on that. Crime completely beyond. Sacramento is starting to look like a large East Coast inner city situation. People breaking in, barricading, you know. So if you're not armed and ready to secure, protect, and defend your rights, you may not have them. And you definitely won't have anyone else to blame, because we give opportunities here to learn and to know what you need to know so that you know what you didn't know. And the more knowledge you get, the more successful you become. The more successful you become, the more knowledge you get. And it keeps going. And that's George Goodhart. Yeah. Don't know what you don't know till you know what you didn't know. And I'm just grateful that we have good men that took the time from their hard work, and good women like Laura Ingalls Wilder took time after doing her chores and running that farm and that ranch and that home and doing all the good things that young men and women do, taking her time to write these Little House on the Prairie stories that were then made into, I guess, 9 seasons of pretty wholesome television. If you can put those two things together, yeah, I think I figured that one out. And I'm grateful for actors in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, people like Gary Cooper, and making movies like High Noon. And let's see, yeah, artists like Chet Atkins. And we have a special song that will be coming on the show a little bit later on today. And it's it rhymes with somebody's last name. And you can actually cross the T and dot the I when you write this name in the snow. And it rhymes with, because it is, Justin Trudeau. Wow, what an exciting, super exciting time to be alive. Uncle Ronnie Reagan was right. Oh, it's a great time to be alive. Well, it's even better now. And I'm really hopeful that this this issue with Sheriff Scott Jones is going to go to the full extent of the law. That's taxpayer money. That is when it's open perjury like that, when you swear and you commit crimes openly under your oath of office. We're going to look at your candidate statement. We're going to look at a whole bunch of different things. We're going to look at your California Form 700, Assembly Bill 1234 training. And there are a whole bunch of things that when you are a public servant, that you are bound to do. When you're an officer of the court, you are bound to certain duties and charges. And it's going to be a great day when that all comes out in the wash after probably, maybe it's even been years worth of investigation. Maybe it's even been a decade. Maybe it's been a lot of people doing a lot of work that deserve support and help and not interference with, oh, look, I'm going to go after this surety bond. Those people get in a lot of trouble, and rightly so, because you're interfering with something that's not your business. And I'm going to go ahead and come on up, James, or come on down, since you're way up north beyond the 49th parallel, and give us an update. And thank you for pointing me to Wallace Stegner and all of these great Westerns. I want to be Dale Evans when I grow up, for sure.
Well, thanks for having me on again. And how many million was it alleged that the that was absconded there? I missed that.
I think they had about 180. I'm just guessing because a certain kitty is sitting on my notes, and I'm going to get hurt if I try to get them. Somewhere under 200 million of CARES money, you know. So basically they're just all, tipping the till. They didn't just tip the till. They ran out with it. And it's going to be a harsh awakening when it comes due. And so this is already part of, it's published. Part of it is published in the newspaper. So this is Sacramento Bee doing a great job. And I really admire their reporters because they actually cover things that go on out here in the hinterlands and the, out here in the woods and so to speak. And a little over 100 million. So big time. I hope they serve lots of time.
Well, sounds like someone will have to go down to the OK Corral and take their guns away from them.
Yes. Yes. I'm here to disarm you. Throw out your guns.
You're right. Well, lately, I get this hankering to look at the San Andreas Fault on various geological maps. And that's what I've been doing for the last couple of days, looking at San Andreas Fault in California. And I'm looking at this great big subduction zone right across the Great Valley there. And that's what I've been looking at the last while. So.
And a really interesting side that kind of saddles up with that is in, pretty sure it was Utah, that giant rifts of land and just huge parts of the ground just opening up. And I'm kind of was fascinated with that as a youngster, when I heard about a certain group of people that were murmuring and complaining, and then, The Kenites were like, hey, you got to step away from these folks. And then, the ground opened up, swallowed all their stuff, and it closed up again. And so I asked the public school teacher, hey, can the ground ever open up and swallow things and they disappear? And the teacher's like, no, that'll never happen. Well, I'm glad I didn't just only ask one opinion. So, take it away.
Well, where you are there with that subduction zone, you may be in a earthquake area yourself. Subduction.
I've felt a couple few up here. And
So when I was on Taiwan for almost 30 years, we get an average of, say, 3 or 4 earthquakes every year. And so I think I've lived through about at least 100 earthquakes. And but I didn't have the resources to do the research into the geology of how they took place. I had an idea about the tectonic plates and such, I really enjoy doing this research because I can use this computer to access information, which is quite interesting. And this hot zone extends all the way up to British Columbia. And I always thought, at least everyone told me, well, the volcanoes all stop in Washington State. And when you're in British Columbia, well, you don't have to worry. But now I find out we've got 21 good volcanoes up here, extending all the way from the 49th parallel all the way to the 60th parallel, the Yukon, and then beyond. So we have volcanoes too up here, so it's might be fun.
Yeah, that's super exciting. And then my my statement for about the last 5 or 10 years or so is, dude, wait till the asteroid hits the volcano.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the other one that intrigues me, of course, is the caldera in Montana, Wyoming. I knew about that one for a while. And the Yellowstone has always been coming, increasing in height. And like I said a couple of days ago, the 49th parallel every year is going up, I don't know, a centimeter or so. Anyway,
awesome.
They've got a break.
Oh, yeah,
there.
And they did so much good work down there at Caltech with all the sensors and the seismological people and stuff. And, and we'll cover that in a bit. This is Grand Jury Reawakening with Dr. Kelly and my special guest, James.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, I'm almost sorry now I caught you messing around, 'cause you packed up your pickup and boogied out of town. Well, darling, I think you'd like to know that I stare at your name in the snow.
That's right.
When the snowflakes fall, I guess I see that happy you and me that used to be. And when the snow has covered all the ground, I hear your name and have to write it down.
Yeah.
Well, do you think of me when you're feeling low and wish you could write my name in the snow?
I love that. Thank you, Dan Sutterfield, for that suggestion. Yeah. And thank you for supporting RBN, folks that are out there that have done it, you good men and women. Get in touch with Dan Sutterfield, and when you support RBN, maybe it, you know, maybe you need a new shirt on your back. Maybe you gave the shirt on your back to your neighbor because you're a good man or a good woman. And get in touch with Dan Sutterfield. Make a nice pledge, your support and donation to RBN. And you can get a hold of him on the telephone. It's area code 573-465-2356. Again, get in touch with Dan Sutterfield. Get your cool RBN t-shirt. I'm wearing mine right now. And it says, real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. And it's got that real handsome RBN logo right over when I put my hand on my heart. And, yeah, thank you again for those of you that are still writing names in the snow. Don't forget to dot the I and cross the T. And, oh, that's just such a classic. how do you like that one, James?
Yeah, I enjoyed that movie. Well, I thought Jack Nicholson did a very good job. I had Marine Corps buddies in Taiwan, and of course I was never in the Marines. But after hanging out with these guys for about a couple of years, I learned a lot about the Marine Corps. So,
yeah,
anyway.
they're good dudes. I'd prefer to have a couple of them. If I have to go out in public, I want one on the right and one on the left, and at least, you know,
yeah.
Major or more, major or higher.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I learned a lot about these guys, I learned a lot about how they fight and their strategy and whatnot, and it's very interesting. Apparently... according to my buddy, especially, the Marines will hold any ground that they find themselves in. They won't back up. So even if they were in a crossfire, let's say, they'll still hang in there till, you know, the job gets done.
Yeah, and I love my favorite logo or motto is when it absolutely, positively has to be blown up by morning. That's
right.
What you call it.
And one more thing, the Marines will shoot their way in to bring out their dead. They won't leave their dead behind. They'll always shoot their way in to get their dead comrades out. They won't leave them behind. This is what the Marines do. So.
Yeah, and that's a serious code of honor, and I'm glad that there are serious people that stick to that. And, don't leave your people behind. Repatriate those.
Right, exactly. So, is there more on the grand jury now? Do we know how this is going to play out with this sheriff, or is it just in the preliminary stages?
What I did, if people needed a copy of a report, and maybe they didn't have access to a printer or they didn't have any way of getting the report, I would definitely print them up a copy of the full report. They're just never able to fit these in an entire newspaper, and so you're only going to get, you know, the high points and just the, you know, a couple of the factors. There is also a response that is required by the grand jury to the public report and the final report that's issued. And there's a time window for a public servant that's a little bit longer than if you were part of a board, say, of supervisors. So it's going to fleshing out here. And now we're, my goodness, we're at the bottom of the hour break. This is the Grand Jury Reawakening with your host, Dr. Kelly.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk, real people, because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Do not forsake me, oh my darling, on this our wedding day. Forsake me, oh my darling, wait, wait long. The noonday train will bring Frank Miller. If I'm a man, I must be brave, and I must face that deadly killer. Are I a coward, a craven coward? or lie a coward in my grave. Oh, to be torn twixt love and duty, supposing I lose my fair half beauty. Look at that big hand move along near in high noon. He made a vow while in state's prison, thought it would be my life or his, and I'm not afraid of death, but oh, what will I do if you leave me? Do not forsake me, oh my darling.
Hey, welcome back to The Grand Jury Reawakening. This is your host, Dr. Kelly, and yeah, I definitely recommend High Noon, and not just once. A lot of these Westerns are quite a bit of history, and I did, here are my notes for, speaking of the grand jury, final report, and, you know, this is a super important way to serve your people. If you're in a California county, if you're in a Nevada county, and if you're in one of the other several states, you better look into it. And if you're a Brit, if you're from Great Britain, your grand jury, one little tiny sentence in the training manual here says that your grand jury was abolished in 1933. You better get into that and figure it out and get it back, because you've got to have it. You know, oftentimes I do change gears and I pop right into overdrive. And sometimes I go into Georgia overdrive, but not coming down this mountain. And I'm recommending for doctors, nurses, you know, people that are in the healthcare profession with a healing arts license of some sort, for your continuing ed, that you get your hands on the human radiation experiments, because that's like a weak fake grand jury style that these investigations were done, you know, public comments, public speeches by these people whose family members and, you know, others were completely poisoned with different types of administration of radiation. So bad news, but good information and wisdom and knowledge to have, so that one can teach and warn. I think it's about time for another edition of that book to distract from Biden's issues and to expose what the Fukushima is really going on, like they say on Rivero. So here we go. Gloria did this report in, oh no, that wasn't Gloria, that was Sacramento Bee, sorry about that. The grand jury's final report regarding Sheriff Scott, two T's, Scott Jones, and they apparently misappropriated 104 million of the $181 million that was allocated to the for the CARES Act, you know, all this funny money. And so that was in, started coming out in the Sacramento Bee, that this was occurring in the summer of 2020. And so behind your backs, all you folks in Sacramento County, and I actually went there and spoke before the SMUD, that's Sacramento Municipal Utilities District, about all their crap with their smart meters, and boy, what a bunch of kooks sitting up on that board trying to hide behind their laptop. Put the screen down, listen to the people. Yeah, I told them. I learned them all right. So Scott Jones, Board of Supervisors, turned a blind eye to it. And something that you will discover when you learn to investigate is that instead of having an oath sworn member serving as your Board of Supervisors and your, somehow somebody stuck a chief executive officer. They kind of reinvented themselves, you know, since I'll just call myself the Center for Conscious Healing, even though there really isn't much of any of that going on. So the chief executive officer, somebody might want to look into that, but I bet the grand jury did, because that's what They do. Let's see. So that money was $104 million. They left of the 181. They took 104. Went into the general fund. And see, so the Board of Supervisors just took that $104 million back from the sheriff into their own general fund. And so, yeah, there's a lot of dirty hands, a lot of dirty money going on up there. So, oh, and a side note, too, I think that our sheriff in this county, Placer, and Placer just simply means that gold deposit is right up on top. You don't have to go digging too far for it. So I'm glad that the grand jury went digging, and get the good diggings and keep up the good work to the Sacramento County. And, yeah, come on up, James. I was, doing that little bit of side studying myself, and I came across, 1947 Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. I don't have the super old one, but this one's old enough to tell me about molecular weight. As far as chemistry goes, the weight of any molecule being the sum of the weights of its constituent atoms. And just want to thank you for pointing those things out, because they're super important. They deserve to be focused on, and I don't want to be distracted from the good stuff. So come on up and take it away. Giddy up with the horsey.
Well, yeah, molecular weight is a key a concept for all molecules, because the molecular weight number gives you a rough idea of some of the physical properties that you can expect from the thing that particular molecule you're working with. If you have a high molecular weight a molecule, for example, relatively high, then you can expect probably high viscosities when you try to push it through a pipe or pour it or what have you like that, you see. Actually, Einstein's first paper that he ever published was the relationship between viscosity of a substance and its molecular weight. That was Einstein's first paper.
Beautiful, beautiful. And, you know, yeah. I'm just weird the way my brain works. I remember, Robin Williams, the actor, warning us about the future in, what was that show, Mork and Mindy? Nano. And then he used his foreign word for, it would be Scheiße in German, but I don't say it on the radio. But he was like, the nano is going to be the Schadsbot that wipes us all out. So thank you, Robin Williams, for trying from Hollywood and New York to warn us about the evil nano particulates. And, you know, there are even things tinier than that. But,
The gentleman that told us about, or that was very good at explaining viscosity, was a gentleman by the name of Dr. J. Edward Glass at the North Dakota State University. J. Edward Glass, this guy is world-renowned for viscosity and research, and he specialized in the viscosity of nylons. For example, when you react an adipic acid with an amine, a diamine, you right away, even at room temperature, you'll develop the fibers for nylon. And the viscosity will determine if your machine is going to clog up and work or if it's not. So it's a very important number in the processing industry. I was wondering if I could plug a book here. This book has to do with my Marine buddies. And if I could give you the title of the book.
Absolutely. I'm ready to write.
Okay. The title of the book is One Marine's War. That's One Marine's War, and then colon, a combat interpreter's quest for humanity in the Pacific. Right? A combat interpreter's quest for humanity in the Pacific. And the author of the book is Gerald A. Meehl. Meehl spelled M-E-E-H-L. Gerald A. Meehl. And this is the story of Lieutenant Robert Sheeks, who was a Marine Corps interpreter in the campaign on Saipan and Tinian. Now, I didn't know Robert Sheeks, but I sure knew his buddy, who was also a lieutenant on Saipan. And that was the gentleman who gave me a lot of insight into what the Marines did and so on and so forth. And actually, my buddy his whole persona is actually what he did to overcome his problems with the war was he got right into another war, which was Korea. And then after that, he was involved in the Cold War. And so for security reasons, I really can't give you the guy's name. But Sheeks, Robert Sheeks, of course, his story is in the book, in this book. So this will give readers some idea of what went on Saipan and Tinian and his personal story. Like my buddy, Sheeks was raised in China for quite a while, and both families had to flee from the Japanese, who I believe started their campaign in China 1937. They both attended a secret school, several secret Japanese schools in the United States for about 13 or 14 months of training before they went into combat. And that book would be interesting, I think, for people who want to know something about what the Marine Corps and other U.S. forces went through in the Second World War in the Pacific Theater. So,
yeah, and can I get you to spell the lieutenant's name and go ahead and give that info out again? And thank you so much. Yeah. You know, having all of my elders and ancestors, except for a couple of them, serving in the Navy, you know, it's such a, I love the healthy rivalry, you know, because, you know, Marines, they're part of the Navy too. Yeah, really? Yeah, right. It's the men's division.
Right.
So thank you for bringing this on to the show too.
Right. So you want that title again?
Yes, please. And the spelling of the lieutenant's name, and
Okay. So the title is One Marine's War. Okay, and then : A Combat Interpreter's Quest for Humanity in the Pacific. And the author is Gerald A. Meehl, M-E-E-H-L. And the gentleman that the book is about is Robert Sheeks, Lieutenant Robert Sheeks. I believe he retired from the Marine Corps as a major. My buddy retired from the Marine Corps as a colonel. So, but I can tell you, my buddy, he landed with MacArthur at Incheon in 1950, okay? And he actually was one of the first people to see the communist Chinese, thousands of them, lying in ditches, ready to counterattack MacArthur's forces. He actually saw them, and he had two of the communist Chinese actually defect on the spot. They ran away from what was going on. And my buddy, of course, could speak Chinese. And anyway, the drama is a real drama. And I encouraged my friend to write a script for a movie, but I don't think it ever got done. But the day he told me this story, I said, "Hey, man, there's a movie in this, right? This you sneak attack, you see. But the movie, I don't think it got done, so that's one of these things.
But it's so important, and, you know, that would take somebody like a John Ford, and
yeah.
It would take people with serious guts, you know, to put that history onto the,
onto
the motion picture.
Right.
Catalog and collection, it would be a good service. And I really appreciate that. And one of my buddies, I actually met a couple at snowboard camp, and the husband is a Marine, and it was so cool because he'd say, "Well, honey, you know, you can't go here into the freestyle park or the, you know, you can't go into the jibs and the jumps because it says freestyle skills required."
Right.
And this guy, he had major skills, so when he got promoted to major, I changed his name to Major Freestyle Skills.
Right.
And you know, they're good men, they're good people that serve, and I'm just so grateful that we have such a division and such dedication from, you know, still continuing to this day. And so thank you for bringing us our good history. I really appreciate that.
Well, you're very welcome. And by the way, there's a very important concept with all this geology I've been looking at, and it's called the rock cycle. That should be a good name for a rock band, the rock cycle, but actually the rock cycle is how rocks go from one form to another, and there's about nine stages here I'm looking at. The first is magma, second is crystallization, the third is igneous rocks, the fourth is erosion, the fifth is sedimentation, the sixth is sediments and sedimentary rocks, the seventh is tectonic burial and metamorphism. The eighth is metamorphic rocks, and nine then is melting. And they go through this cyclic process from one form to another, and they keep reinventing themselves. And this is something I'm going to look at.
Oh, that's so cool.
In more detail.
I remember having to do like a school project when I was a youngster, and it was so, like, it just blew my mind. I'm like, how can this be? You know, how does wood become in a petrified form? And how does, you know, how did that green sand get on that beach in Hawaii? And, that's so cool. I don't.
Right. Well, with any kind of process, there's always a thermodynamic background to it. So a cyclic process, you're always going to have thermodynamics to help you along with the inquiry, you see. So that's another thing that I'm going to look at.
It's so cool that you're covering this part of it too, because then you'll also be able to expand out into Bechamp and Rife and Lee, and look into the proto-morphology and continue.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, and again, you have the idea of molecular weight in there, the weights of atoms, for sure. So, I mentioned things like molecular weight a lot in my book. Things like statistical mechanics, the partition function that can describe DNA, you see. All these biomolecules, regardless of their complexity, can still be described using physics and the internal forces, for example, in DNA, again, reduced down to quantum mechanical forces that have actually no classical analog. And I do a lot of speculation in the book. Experimental data, yeah, to back up my theories of how the forces for opening the DNA, and so that if they read the book, they'll read that. Hopefully, they'll be able to understand some of what I write. So,
it definitely takes, you know, the mind that's spent several years in several books and doing lots of bench work and experiments. And I think it was right around my birthday, 7-8 years ago, I was on a flight Southwest down to the Las Vegas area to go visit Dr. Francis. And I got to sit next to a man who was a rock hound and a geologist and really into, you know, the asteroids and such. And I would imagine that somewhere in history that asteroids have hit more than volcanoes. And I bet we have so many out here in the desert, in the Nevada area, and so many in that Central Valley. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe something came in for a landing and maybe even created some of those rifts down there in the Central California Valley. But who knows?
Exactly. Yeah. I believe off the Gulf of Mexico in the Yucatan, there was a big incident where you had an asteroid come in and it turned the Earth into a ice age. I don't know how that was a couple billion years ago, or I don't have the number off the top of my head, but it was a big one. And yeah, they come in at high speed, really high speed.
It's so cool. They've obviously had a lot of neat stuff going on, building all those structures and aligning them with the patterns of the sun and the seasons and the decades. And I mean, it's pretty phenomenal. I actually did climb up to the top of the Chichen Itza pyramid, and it was designed in such a way that it would cause you to hallucinate and see a snake ascending the side of the pyramid structure just due to the placement and the color of the stones that they used in constructing, you know, that thing. And yeah, thousands of years ago, it's just pretty fascinating stuff that we do these witty inventions. So,
and this was down in Mexico?
There are all of these pyramids that were constructed such a way, and I got to visit it in 2000, the year 2000, and this was prior to the 2012 event. And yeah, these pyramids were constructed in such a way that as the sun is rising and setting and certain things are happening out in the celestial realm, they've actually captured it, you know, completely with the dialing in the beams and the sundials. And it's really cool stuff, and it definitely deserves your attention, Eddie.
Well, then you were down near the equator then. You were close to the equator.
Yep, right. That was my furthest trip south to date. And thank you again for RBN supporters in the Grand Jury Reawakening on the February 19th edition with Dr. Kelly and James. And we'll see you next week.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.